Hello, my name is Lisa Elvins del Torre, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Travel takes on many forms, and in this video, we're going to be traveling through time. But a lot of my videos will also be focusing on the actual locations that you can visit. And what we are doing in this very special series is looking at Nefi Jorwa, which is a program that was near and dear to my heart. I am a descendant of these amazing women, Nefi Jorwa, or the King's Daughters, and we are doing mini biographies of each and every one of them, as many as I can do. Now, in my series, on my channel, I have a video that is entitled Nefi Jorwa, the Program 2.0. And that video tells you everything you need to, well, not everything you need to know, but a lot of the details about Nefi Jorwa, how the program got started, and all the ins and outs, what your ancestor would have gone through. And it gives you kind of a background that may prove very, very helpful in understanding. Today, we're going to turn our attention to one girl in particular. Her name is Marie Sel, and she is my eight times great grandmother. Marie was born in 1647 in the parish of Saint Trinity in the Roubaix, Normandy. Her father's name was Guillaume Sel, and her mother was Marguerite d'Ormesnil. I hope I'm saying that right. The church where she was presumably baptized was constructed in the 15th century, which I just find amazing. Rouen has an amazing historical story and was at one time the largest city in France, actually. And it played a prominent role in both English and French histories from the 11th to the 15th century. Joan of Arc was tried and buried alive in 1431 in this area. Rouen is a city of cultural and educational significance. The Museum of Fine Arts, the Seigle Tournesol, and the Rouen Cathedral are all located here. The University of Rouen at Normandy is a prestigious and very, very well-regarded institution. It was from this area that the Statue of Liberty sailed in June of 1885. L'Armada, which is a festival that is held every 4 to 6 years, is a gathering of sailing ships from around the world, which was begun in the 1980s to commemorate the Statue of Liberty's departure. The next Armada will take place in June of 2023. Each Armada has a theme. The next one will be the Armada of Liberty. I just think it's fascinating to realize that this little area of France is home, was home, and was is shipped from, the Statue of Liberty's birthplace, if you will, or where she took off from. So I think it's amazing to know the connections and how important this area was and how influential it was to the rest of the world. Now, after her father's death, Marie leaves for New France. She brought with her a dowry of about 200 pounds. She sailed on the Saint Louis de Dieppe. I see there's a typo there. It's not the Saint Louis, it's the Saint Louis de Dieppe. I'll have to fix that. And she arrived in New France on September 25th, 1667. Now, who's her groom? Nicolas Guillemette. His parents were Nicolas Guillemette and Jeanne Sauté. He was born in 1641 in Nesles-la-Montagne in the Picardy section of France, which was made famous in World War I. During the time of Nicholas, it would have been a very prominent area for battles in the Middle Ages. This was a very battle-torn area. He arrived in Canada in 1667. On the 17th of October, 1667, Nicolas and Marie were wed in Quebec City. They then settled at Chateau Richer for a few years. Now, they ended up on Île d'Orléans, which is located in the St. Lawrence River, 3 miles east of downtown Quebec. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry back to this island. It's kind of like a microcosm of all of North America in a way, because so many of these founding families came to this area. And the island actually got its name from the second son of King Francis, Henry II, who was the Duke of Orleans. And the island was also known as La Grande Île, Île Sainte-Marie, and Saint-Laurent for certain periods. So if you run across those names, it is the same place. And the early French settlers were attracted to this island because of the fertile soil. In 1661, the first parish of Saint-Famille was founded, followed by another four parishes in 1679. By 1685, there were 1,200, mostly French inhabitants, living there. You can see on the map, on the bottom left, the island and its proximity to Quebec City. I've also included a map of the six regions. If any of you are doing research, it's important to note which village your ancestor settled in. And of course, there's the famous monument with the 300 people that were part of the founding of Île d'Orléans, and I'm happy to say that Pierre and Marie were part of that on that monument. Marie and Nicolas had 10 children, 8 of whom made it to adulthood. Truly remarkable. Their first child, Barb, was born in 1668 and married François Lemoine de Jasmin. They had 2 children, both of whom made it to adulthood. She, unfortunately, Barb, died shortly after her second child was born in 1696. Jeanne was born in 1670 and marries Pierre Guignard, and they have 6 children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Prisque died at the age of 22. In his death record, I infer, perhaps incorrectly, that he died at sea off the coast of Beaupré. Jean-Baptiste, my 7 times great-grandfather, marries Marie-Anne Blais, and they had 10 children, 5 of whom make it to adulthood. Now, on a side note, Marie-Anne's mother was also a fille du roi. Her name was Anne Perrou, and she is featured in my fille du roi video number 8. Nicolas dies at the age of 6. Marie was born in 1678 and marries François d'Aragon de la France, and they had 14 children, 11 of whom make it to adulthood. Agnes was born in 1670 and marries Nicolas Maupas du Saint-Thomas, and they have 9 children, 6 of whom make it to adulthood. Catherine was born in 1683 but passes away at the age of 16. Françoise was born in 1685 and marries André Bissonnette, and they have 6 children, only 2 of whom make it to adulthood. She then marries Jean Dagneau, Dite La Prise, and they have 2 children, both of whom make it to adulthood. And then we have Anne Jeanne marries Pierre Charlat, and they have 10 children, 6 of whom make it to adulthood. What a huge family again. Nicolas dies December 15, 1700, and he's buried at the Saint-Jean Cemetery on Île d'Orléans. Marie then marries Jean Philibeau, some 30 years her junior. But 6 months later, he passes away in July of 1701. And finally, in 1711, Marie marries Vincent Berriot de Poitvin, a master woodworker who was a widower with 8 children. He and Marie have no children together, but 4 years later, Vincent also passes away. Finally, Marie dies the 13th of June, 1719, and is also buried along with Nicolas in the Saint-Jean d'Orléans Cemetery. She was 72 years old. Remarkable. When these women achieve even the age of 60, it is thought to be incredible. Remember, they bore children and bore children, and they did not have it easy. So they were made of very strong stuff. So to have survived anything past 60 is amazing. So 72 really is remarkable. So with that, we end our story. We now can look at another feature one, the next video that we'll be doing. And I can't wait to see you on video number, I think we finished number 16 right now. And I'll see you on video number 17. So until then, au revoir.